Okay, the first part of the parsha discusses the death of Sarah, which of course is why it's called Chaye Sarah. And then afterwards, we have the following pasuk in Perek Haftalad, pasuk Aleph. Va'Avraham zaken ba'biyamim, va'Hashem beirach et Avraham bakol. And Avraham became aged, and God blessed him with everything. Now, some of the commentaries are concerned. This is not the first time that it says Avraham is old. Avraham was already old 30 years before this, at least 40 years before this. But it says that God blessed him with everything. So what we will deal with today is, what exactly does it mean, everything? The pasuk continues, and this is one of the longer parashiyot, if not the longest, one of the longest prakim, if not the longest one in Bereshit. Vayomer Avraham el avdo, zekan beito, hamoshel b'kol asher lo, simne yodcha tachet yirichi, v'asbiacha b'hashem elokei hashamayim v'lokei haaretz, asher lo tikach isha livni mibnot hakna'ani, asher anochi yoshev b'kirbo. So Avram, as he gets old, is concerned about the future. He's concerned about his son. He's concerned about his family. And he makes this person, who is never named in this chapter, although Rashi tells us that it's Eliezer, and those of us, when we learn this when we're young, we're just told it's Eliezer, even to the point where we think it's written here, though it's not. He makes this trusted servant swear to him that he will not take a quote-unquote local woman, a Kna'ani, a Canaanite woman, for his son. Ki el artzi ve'el moladeti teleich v'lakach de'isha livni li'itzchak. Rather, you'll go to my hometown, place that I'm from, the place that I'm born, and there you'll go and you'll find a wife for my son, for Yitzchak. Now, the juxtaposition between the first verse and then the next number of verses, which continues throughout the chapter having to do with the courtship and eventual marriage. Of course, Yitzchak is not involved in the courtship, but the servant is. What exactly is this introduction? Va'Avraham zaken ba'biyamim ba'Hashem beirachet Avraham bakol. So Rashi tells us, Beirachet Avraham Bakol. What does Bakol mean? Bakol ole begematria ben. So those of you who don't like gematriot, Rashi feels quite comfortable using it in this instance. And Rashi points out that Bikol, bet is 2, kuf is 20, lamed is 30. So it comes out to 52. And ben is 52 as well. So it says that God blessed him with everything. What was the everything that he was blessed with? He had a son. And once he had a son, what did he have to be concerned with? He had to be concerned with finding a wife and eventually the continuity. So therefore, as far as Rashi is concerned, the flow over here is very clear. The flow goes from God gave him a son to having to find a wife or a son. Of course, it would have been far more convenient had the first verse had said, and Avraham was old, and God had blessed him with a son, and he needed a wife for his son. That would have been much easier. Nonetheless, if you go later on to the words of the Eved, in source number 3, which is Pasuk Lamed Hei, V'Hashem Beirach et Adoni Ma'od, ויגדל ויתן לו צאן ובקר וכסף וזהב ועבדים ושפחות וגמלים וחמורים ותלד שרה אשת אדוני בן לאדוני אחרי זקנתה ויתן לו את כל אשר לו ישביעני השם לאמור לא תיקח אישה לבני מבנות הכנעני אשר אנוכי יושב בארצו אם לא אל בית אבי תלך ואל משפחתי ולקחתי אישה לבני. So this is very interesting, because over here it's the Eved's explaining why he's here, and he says, God greatly blessed my master with... Now, he doesn't use the word bekol, but what does he say? What? He says ma'od. Does he say ma'od? And what does he spell out then? He spells out with flock, and with money, and with silver, and with gold, and with servants, and so on, and gemalim, and chamorim, and then he continues as the son. And from there, he then reiterates or repeats what Avram had said to him, and Avram had made him swear. This led the Rashbam in source number 4 to tell us that the flow over here is quite simple. That when it says Bekol, what does Bekol mean? Bekol means all the things that Eliezer understood, and it includes the son. So, you know what? That's Pshat, and if all we were concerned with was Pshat, we can stop, and we don't need go any further. The Gemara over here says something which most likely will upset all of you. So, therefore, I couldn't resist. Source number 5. V'Hashem beirach et Avraham b'kol. The Gemara in Baba Batra says, Mai b'kol, what does it mean he was blessed with everything? Rabbi Meir Omer, Shelo hayta lo bat, that he didn't have a daughter. That's the blessing. That's how he was blessed. He didn't have a daughter. I don't know how many of you see the wisdom in this blessing. Though the Gemara doesn't end right there. The Gemara sees this as a debatable point. Excuse me?
I said, oh,
good. The Gemara sees this as a debatable point. It says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shaitalobat. No, Bikol means that he had a daughter. So again, it's interesting. What Rashi knew this Gemara. What did Rashi say Bikol means? He had a son. What does Rabbi Meir say it means? Rabbi Meir says it means he didn't have a daughter. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says that he had a daughter. So now everything is clear. Acherim Omrim, Acherim, others say, Bat Haitalo Avraham Ubikol Shema. Oh yeah, sure he had a daughter. And what was her name? Her name was Bikol. And you read this, and let's admit this, you have no idea what the Gemara is talking about. And by the way, he had a daughter, he didn't have a daughter, is one thing, but he had a daughter, and her name was Bikol. It's you know, it almost sounds like this is a joke, chas v'shalom, and just is quite difficult to understand. This is repeated in the Medrash Rabbah, which is in source number 6. Possibly different names are included over here. Although it does go a little bit further on what Bekol may mean, but I do want to come back to Rav Meir in a moment. Over here, if you look in source number 6, the second line from the bottom, which is something which we didn't read yet, 5 words in, Reb Levi Omer, Tlat Bekol. There are really 3 meanings of Bekol. Bekol includes 3 different things. Shehishlitu b'yitzro. One Bekol is that he was able to control his Yetzer Hara. Another Bekol, Sha'asar Yishmael Tshuva B'chayav, that Yishmael ended up straightening his ways. Bekol, Shelo Chasar Kilaron Shelo Klum. And the third Bekol is that his storehouse was not missing anything. He had everything he needed. So it's interesting that one is a purely spiritual thing, Yetzer Hara. Another is not necessarily as much spiritual, but as much as one of the things that would have concerned Avram the most, his own son's behavior. And the third is purely a physical thing. But what does Reb Levi tell us? It's all three. He says that the Bekol means everything. What does everything include? Everything. He then continues with Levi B'shem Rav Chama Amar Bekol Shelo Chazar V'nisa Oto. He says, what does Bekol mean? That God did not test him again. 10 was enough, and it's interesting. When Rav Yonatan Eifshitz, this is a commentary on the Chumash, quotes this Midrash, he says that when he did the Akedah, at that moment, he defeated the Yetzer Hara. He was Ne'ekad HaYetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara of Avraham can never control him again because he had this success. And I'm not sure how much of this I'll be able to come back to. But what we see over here is that Bekol really could mean a lot of different things. Why in the world does Rabbi Meir limit this, that what is the bracha that he had? That he didn't have a daughter. That's what the bracha is. Now, a number of the Rishonim, and I don't know who the first one to say this was, the Ramban says it black and white, others say this in black and white, that why was there a bracha that he didn't have a daughter? And he said it's very simple. Who would his daughter have married? That his daughter would have been somewhat stuck, and even though you see someone like Rivka comes and joins Avraham's family, presumably, if he had a daughter, or if you want to call her Bacol, sounds French or something, right? Lauren Bacol, right? If she would have married someone, then she presumably would have had to go live with wherever her husband lived, as was done in those days. So therefore, it's assumed that it was actually a blessing that he didn't have a daughter, because this daughter he would have lost, and therefore maybe there was a blessing over here. But again, to say that that's what Rabbi Meir was concerned with is a little strange. Although, if you look at source number 7, Rabbi Meir does express concern. Forget about marrying somebody who's non-Jewish. Forget about marrying somebody who is an idolater. Over here, he expresses concern even if somebody allows their daughter to marry what he calls an Am Haaretz. Somebody, and Am Haaretz should not be translated. The English is good here, because the English doesn't translate Am Haaretz as ignorant. Am Haaretz doesn't mean ignorant. Am Haaretz means somebody who's coarse. Somebody who's who's not elevated. It says, Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol hamasi bito la'am ha'aretz ki'ilu kofta, as if he tied her up, u'minicha lefnei ari, and put her in front of a lion. Ma'ari dores va'ochel va'ein lo boshet panim, like a lion will just attack and rip and have no embarrassment. No. Af am ha'aretz makeh u'bo'el va'ein lo boshet panim. So too, would an am ha'aretz, would he hit, have relations and have no embarrassment whatsoever, which means to put, basically he's saying, is to put one's daughter in a relationship with somebody who's not elevated, but rather would be abused, and so on and so forth. And the example of Rameh over here is really very, very, very clear and very, very physical, the way that he describes it. And he says, what kind of life is this? And therefore, if there would not have been the proper person to marry, then it would have been better off not to have had a daughter. Although I'm putting two statements of Rav Meir together. Rav Meir is not necessarily linking them, but perhaps that is what one is concerned with. But by the way, somebody just told me 2 days ago that there's a new book in America, How to Find a Jewish Husband, which is not written for Jewish women. No, but now there's a book with the whole instruction, right? I don't know. If anybody's interested in reading the book, How to Find a Jewish Husband, I'm sure you can find it. The Torah Tamima says something, though, which I couldn't ignore. I could have, but I chose not to. I mean, he basically makes Rav Meir sound like a misogynist. And he says, no, Rav Meir really had great difficulties with women. And therefore, he quotes a whole bunch of things about Rav Meir. And I want to read the Torah Tamima, and then I'll show you the references that he is referring to. Source number 8, which is right over here on this pasuk, on the opinion of Rav Meir. Gam yishlomer b'da'atei d'Rabbi Meir, da'oza l'shite, that he goes according to his own opinion. Shetikein levarich b'chol yom, Shelo Asani Isha. Who is the one who says that one should make a bracha every day? Look at source 9 for a moment. Tanya, it was taught. Hoye Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir said, Chayev Adam Levarech Shalosh Brachot B'chol Yom Elohein Shasani Yisrael Shelo Asani Isha Shelo Asani Bor. By the way, of those three, only one of them is actually said the way that Rabbi Meir suggested. So what's he pointing out? Rav Meir is the one who said Shelo Asani Isha. So maybe Rav Meir has problems generally with women, and therefore him to say Shelo Asani Isha. But by the way, I personally never would have connected Rav Meir's statement about Lo Shelo Asani Isha together with this kind of a thing. But as I said, the Torah Tamima does say this. Let's go back to source number 8 again and see what else he says. V'ze yesh lomar b'bnei she'erech hanashim hayakil be'enav. And you can say that according to Rav Meir's opinion, women were inferior. By the way, of all these rabbis claiming that's not what the bracha means, it's not really true, and so on and so forth. And over here you see the Torah meaning says, no, Rav Meir thought women were inferior, and therefore it's good that Avram didn't have a daughter, and therefore therefore you make a bracha shelo asani isha. And then he continues to say, b'bnei kalot da'atan, because they have... How would you say kalot da'atan, literally? Literally, what? their dot is light. Their dot is light. They're, but by the way, again, maybe I'm guilty of polemicizing, but you know, if you look at the Gemara, on the one hand, the Gemara says that Nashim da'aton kalot. On the other hand, what does it say? It says bina yitera. Ever hear of Chabad? What it really means? Chachma, bina, and dat. There's three different types of intelligence. So the question is, what do you trust more? When it says that women have bina yitera, so what does bina mean? Bina is davar mitoch davar. Bina means what you, I guess what you would call intuition. So therefore it says bina yitera, it means that a woman will rely on her intuition. But the dat is kal, she would not use the dat as much as she would use the bina. But that's if you put those two statements together, it's not a statement of intelligence. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a statement of processing, which means you can have just as much raw intelligence, and how do you process information? Do you just use absolute intellectual terms without any type of intuition, or when you process it, is intuition something which is of more value? So I put these two statements of the Gemara together. It said, by the way, neither of these statements are talking about chokhmah. It's talking about da'at, and it's talking about binah. So it says the da'at is kal, and the binah is yitera. And so I would say that it's talking about a process over here. But then again, you can say that I'm guilty of polemics. Right? Although I really don't think so. I really think that you have to put the two statements together. And it's not fair to judge just one without the other. And for all the women that are upset that it says Nashim Da'aton Kalot, I've never heard a woman upset because it says Bina Yitera. Correct? By the way, when the Rambam quotes, just one second, when the Rambam quotes it, he says most women. He doesn't say all women. He says it's most. Well, right now we're reading more the Torah Tamimah than we are reading. Right. Which, by the way, there's all kinds of interesting things about this. Any of you know who the Torah Tamimah was? First of all, he wasn't a rabbi. Okay, so let's get that out of the way. He wasn't a rabbi. He was a banker. He worked in a bank. And he was pretty well off, and he actually had a lot of people doing research for him. And then he would publish these books. And he wrote a lot of books. He lived for a number of years in Brooklyn on Ocean Parkway. How's that? he died in the late 1930s. I may be off by a year or two, but he ended up dying in Europe. But you talk about somebody who lived in the 20th century. His uncle, the Nativ, his father was the Aruch HaShulchan. So his father was the Rav Novartik, was the greatest posek of the generation, if not the greatest, and certainly the top, within the top two or three. And if you've ever read the book called My Uncle the Nativ, then you'll know that his uncle was the Nativ. There's also been a number of articles which were published regarding his attitudes towards women's learning, including a whole thing about a certain aunt that he had who was well-learned and so on. But I said all that's interesting on the side because he is now reading into Rav Meir. He's telling you what he believes Rav Meir thinks.
What is
Chachma? Chachma, I think it would be the closest thing to intelligence.
So what's that?
That is the interaction. V'yada adam et chava ishto. It's interacting. But by the way, this is something. What is chacham? What is bina? What is dat? And how they work is something which deserves a lot more analysis. Maybe when we get the Li Neder closer to building of the Mishkan, where it talks about Bezalel's use of chacham and bina and dat, maybe that would be a time to come back to it. But for the meantime, we have over here something which I can understand potentially why someone would get upset. He says maybe in Rav Meir's mind, women were inferior because their da'at was ka'al, kimuvu'ar ba'avodazara yudchet amid bet. As is said in the Gemara in Avodazara yudchet amid bet, Shabarach Mahmad kisufa, because he ran away out of embarrassment, mibnei Bruria ishto, because of his wife Bruria, ya'ayin sham. By the way, it doesn't say that in the Gemara. Even though he thinks it says it, it does not say this in the Gemara. Let's take a look and see what it does say in the Gemara. Which one? Ya'ayin sham. Take a look there. So we will. Source number 10. Now, this Gemara comes after a whole series of stories about Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is also known as Rabbi Meir Bal Hanes. Why? Because of all kinds of very interesting things that happened. If you go back a little bit on the other side of the page, I didn't want to spend the whole day on Rabbi Meir and the whole thing and stories here, although there's certainly what to talk about. It goes back and it talks about his father-in-law. Who was his father-in-law? Rabbi Chanina ben Tradya. He was the one who was wrapped up in a Sefer Torah and was burnt alive during the Hadrianic persecutions. And he was executed. He was wrapped up in a Torah. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon. So that's on the first. That's on page Yud Chet Amid Aleph. And then it goes on. It tells us that his daughter sees him like this, and so on. It then goes on to talk about various things about Rabbi Meir's wife and Rabbi Meir's sister and troubles that he had, that he encountered. How one of his sisters-in-law was taken to a place of ill repute, and that's where Rav Meir had to do all kinds of miracles, Rav Meir Bal Hanes, and that's where Rav Meir had to do all kinds of miracles and disappear and all kinds of things in order to save his sister-in-law from this. And then the Gemara continues, as I said, we're just getting to the very end of it. Yomachada Chizuhi. One day the Romans saw him. They were not happy with him because he had gotten people out of the prison. Rahat Abatre, and they ran after him. Rahat Mikamaihu. So he ran away from then. Where did he run to? Al Libe Zonot. And he escaped by running into a house of ill repute. Ika di Amri, some say, no, this is the way it happened. Bishuli Ovde Kachavim Chaza, that somebody was cooking, and Ovid Kachavim was cooking. Tamash Baha Umatak Baha. And he put one finger into it, but he tasted with the other finger. But it looked like he had tasted the food, which was Avodah Zarah. So one finger he puts in, but he tastes the other finger. So far there are two opinions about something that went wrong. One is that he had to run into this house of ill repute. The second explanation is that it gave people the impression that he was eating the food which was from Avodah Zarah. Ika d'Amri, and some say, now this is what happened, Ata Eliyahu Adme Lul Kizona, Eliyahu came dressed up like a prostitute, Karchate, and embraced him. Amrei, and the Gemara says, no, chas v'sholom. E Rabbi Meir hava lo hava avid hachi. If we're talking about Rabbi Meir, he never would have done any of those things. So the Gemara knows that something happened with Rabbi Meir. It doesn't know what it is that happened. And it made a couple of different suggestions as far as what happened, that he ran into a house of ill repute, that he looked like he tasted avodah zarah, that he hugged Eliyahu in drag. You have a better way of saying it? The Gemara then says, none of this can possibly be. It says, Kom arak atat lebavel. And he got up and he ran to Bavel. Which means, what the Gemara is saying is that people were saying, there's no way this could be Rabbi Meir who can do such a thing. But what are they saying? But saying it really was. So therefore, he runs away. And some say, Ika d'yamre mehai ma'aseh. Some people say he ran to Bavel because of what we just now told. The Ika d'Amri, and some say he ran away, Mima'asid de Bruria, because of the thing that happened with Bruria. Now the Gemara does not tell us what happened with Bruria. But, in case you don't know, what is the name of Rameir's wife? Bruria. Okay. Now what do you know about Bruria? She's very smart. By the way, not only is she very smart, in the various debates that they have, she wins. So as far as the Gemara is concerned, it sounds like Bruria is not exactly this feeble-minded, unintelligent woman. Quite the opposite. She's a strong, intelligent woman who we don't have any reason to suspect anything negative about her. Now, this is the Gemara that he referred to, and he says, no, take a look. So this Gemara doesn't say anything. All that it says is something happened with Bruria. And the truth is, we have no idea what happened. You can go through all the Gemarot, you can go through all the Midrashim, we have no idea what happened. Nonetheless, Rashi has some kind of a tradition here. Incidentally, I once discussed this Rashi with Professor Sperber, who told me he does not believe it's really Rashi. And his reasoning for this was the language used. So the language is not one which is Rashi. He felt it was a later interpolation. Nonetheless, there's no other source for what we're about to read other than this particular source. Rashi, source 11. V'ikad yamar mishum ma'aseh debruya. Shepam echad liglila al sha'amru chachamim nashim da'etun kalotein. Once Bruria made fun of Rav Meir and was making fun of the rabbis, how can the rabbis say nashim da'aton kalot? Their da'at is kal. Va'omer la, and he says to her, chayech, now by your life, sofech lehodot lidreihim. You'll end up agreeing that they're right. V'tziva le'echad mitalmidav, and therefore he ordered one of his students, linesota l'dvar avera, to try to seduce her. And he kept on coming on to her until she finally gave in. Ukishnodala, when she realized what she did, chanka atzma, she committed suicide. Varak of Meir Machmat Kisufan, Rav Meir ran away out of embarrassment. Is this the strangest thing you've read in a long time? Yes, yes. Listen. Let's think for a second. And again, with all due respect to Rashi, if indeed this really does come from Rashi, the behavior over here is a very, very strange behavior. To try to prove a point, then to hire somebody to try to seduce your wife, to prove is a very, very strange thing. But this is what the Torah Tamima brings in and says, you see, this tells you about the Rav Meir's attitudes towards women because he didn't think that they were so smart. By the way, there's another unknown midrash that got back at Rav Meir. They got back at him. And again, I have no idea where this is from, but I reproduce this for you on the last page, which, by the way, the Torah to me refers to this as well. Let me just, before I get to the last page, he writes, "V'gamim neshe nichshal al yedei isha achad kimor toldato b'seder hadarot." And it says, also take a look what it says in Seder Hadarot. I'm sorry for the quality of this. I did not have this at home. And a friend of mine scanned it and sent it to me. Look where it says hey on the left side. Yes, the new paragraph, hey. This is the Seder Hadarot. This is a work from the Middle Ages, late Middle Ages. Ma'aseber of Meir Shahaya Ola Liushalayim Bikol Regel. The story happened of Meir who used to come up to Yerushalayim every one of the holidays. But by the way, Rav Meir lived for the most part after the Churban, and there was no Yerushalayim. So just in case you want to know if this is suspect or not. Umit areach etzel Yehuda HaTabach, and he used to stay with a guy named Yehuda HaTabach, v'ishto, and this guy's wife, Yehuda HaTabach, was Yafa Utznua, v'hitaz rizama od b'chvodo shev Meir. And she was beautiful, and she was modest, and she was very, very careful in respect of Meir. Umeta, and she died. Unasa acheret, and then he married, Yehuda Tabach married somebody else. Va'amar la, im yavo tamad chochem achad, shmor Rav Meir, he's a hari b'chodo. If a certain rabbi named Rav Meir comes to visit, be very careful about honoring him. Ukishaba, haregel, when the holiday came, va'alar Rav Meir l'Yerushalayim, he came up to Jerusalem. Uba l'beit Rav Yehuda HaTabach, and he came to the house, v'sha'al al-ishto, and he asked, where's the woman of the house? V'amru, they said, k'far meita, she died. Bacha Rav Meir, v'ratzel alechet. Rav Meir cried, and he wanted to leave. V'tavsa oto b'bigdo, she grabbed him by his clothing. V'amra lo, adoni, k'far tziva ba'ali, my husband already commanded me, she'ezaher b'chvodcha, yoter mi'ishtar rishona, that I should be careful of your honor, even more so than his first wife. Amar la Rav Meir, ein li rishut li kanes b'veito. He says, I have no permission to go in. Ad sheyitein li rishut, yotzer Rav Meir l'chutz, v'paga b'Rav Yehuda Tabach. Rav Meir went outside, he bumped into Rav Yehuda Tabach, v'natan lo shalom, and he said, hello. Amar la Rav Yehuda, adoni kfar meita ishti, v'zu mizurezit b'chvodcha yoter. And he goes, and my new wife will be even more careful with honoring you. V'alach Rav Meir lebeito, Rav Meir went to his home, v'yivia ishto lefanav le'echol u'lishtot, v'hi mishameshet lefanav, and she brought him to eat and to drink, and she took wonderful care of him. V'hoyer Rav Meir b'chur yifei Torah, Rav Meir happened to be very good looking. You know where this is going. You guys watch too many movies, I think. V'nas'abo enav, and she glanced upon him, Vishikarto ad shelo yada ben yamino usmolo. And she got him drunk till he didn't know between his right and his left hand. Vihitziya lo mita, and she then gave him a bed. Vishachav aleha, and he laid on it, Rav Meir. Vihi shachva imo, and she lied with him ad or haboker, until daybreak. Umirov shikruto, because of the enormity of his drink, lo yada bishikhva uvkuma, which quotes, of course, from Lot. And he didn't know of when she lay down and when she got up. V'hatel ima kol halayla, and he was with her the entire night. L'mocha kamer of meir v'halach lebeit ha-midrash, l'tpalel, k'shechazar lebeit, hevi lefanav ma'achel v'mishtek v'rushana, v'yata midabreret, u'misacheket lefanav, and she started flirting even more, she was talking and so on, very lightheaded with him. V'yav meir mitameh ba'atzmo, and he was shocked. Eichai tami iza paneha b'fanav. How can she be talking to him like this? And he got very embarrassed and he looked down. He didn't want to look at her. Amralo, and she said to him, and why aren't you looking at me? You were fooling around with me all night. What happened now? And now you're embarrassed? Amralo of Meir, chas v'shalom. Rav Meir said, God forbid. Lo hayudvar molam. That certainly didn't happen. Amralo, im lo ta'aminli, siman kach v'kach al bisarcha. I don't have to translate. So she said she pointed out certain parts of his anatomy and said that this is what. And by the way, over he continues the whole story how Rav Meir was devastated and so on and so forth. By the way, I have no idea where this comes from. It's not from a Gemara. It's not written in any midrash, as far as I know. It's found in a 16th century source, who apparently found it in some earlier source, but who knows where it's from? But you have to appreciate the poetic justice over here. I don't. You know what? I couldn't read the end. I was actually had in mind to buy the book and find out how it ends. Right? You would say you won't be happy. You won't be happy unless he kills himself. You want vengeance. You parody. You know what? It's close enough. It's close enough. No, as I said, I can only think of one point to the story. Somebody saw the Rashi, got upset with it, and says, "Well, you know, if Rav Meir acted like this, let me get back at Rav Meir for this." Again, we have no evidence for either one of these things, but as I said, the Torah Tamima brings both of these stories, and he's totally convinced that Rav Meir doesn't like women, and Rav Meir's upset with the women, he's upset with his wife, he's upset with this woman, Shelo Asani Isha, and Rav Meir has this whole negativity towards women. Now, she killed herself.
It
says. When she realized that her husband had set her up. I think that's what it means. I think that's what it means. But back in, she's back in Rashi in Bruria. So as I said, you know, you're right. It sounds like gossip. It sounds, and the Torah Tamima felt that this is what needed to be introduced over here in order to explain why Rav Meir say that Bakol means that he didn't have a daughter. But it also makes Rav Meir seem very petty. It makes Rav Meir seem very, very limited and somebody who, again, he's a misogynist, he hates women, and now we have all kinds of reasons why he does. Yeah. Much later. It's not right. Shasani Kirtano is not mentioned in the Gemara. What's the matter? Again, it's very interesting what happens to Rav Meir, right? It is very interesting what happens to him. Look, I could imagine, what's the one line in the Gemara? That he ran, he was being chased by Romans and ran into a house of a repute, and how, you know, the imagination then goes, or how he once seen embracing Eliyahu, but Eliyahu, as we said, was dressed, and they create a whole legend based upon this. If you go to the primary sources, you don't have the story about Bruria, and you don't have the story about Rav Meir. All of this isn't there, but as I said, the Torah Tamima is in my mind shocking that he felt that this is really what's going on over here. Now, the Ramban disagreed with him. The Ramban is in Source 12. Source 12. Beirach et Avraham Bakol, Va'osher unichasim v'chavod orich yamim uvanim v'zot kol chemdat ha'adam. He's quoting Ibn Ezra. He had all these things. V'iskira katuv ze le'mor ki haya shalem ba'kol. Lo chasar davar zulati shirabanim livno. The only thing he was missing, as somebody said before, was grandchildren. And that's what he wanted to see. Shinchalo me'alato uchvodo l'chein hetave l'zeh. The rabbis have something amazing to say about this. And he said, and he quotes the Gemara that we saw. Amru Vashem Berachat Avram Bakol, Rav Meir Omer Shelo Haitalo Bat, Rav Yehuda Omer Bat Haitalo, Acheir Omerim Bat Haitalo, Ubechol Shema. Darash Rav Meir Shelo Haitalo Bat Lavraham, Vizu Lo Levracha, Ki Lo HaYachol Lahasiya Rak Levnei Kanan Ha'arurim. Why would it be a bracha? Because he, as we suggested before, he would have had no one for his daughter to marry. And that's perhaps what the bracha would mean. But then he goes and look at the bottom paragraph on the page, Uve Emet. Uve Emet She'ena Kavana La'acherim. Remember the others say that he had a daughter, Uba Kol Shema. She'ena Kavana La'acherim V'hamachloket Lahem Im Rabbi Yehuda Lodia Otanu Shem Habat Hazot Bilvad. The Gemara, when it comes and says, Rabbi Meir says he didn't have a daughter. Rabbi Yehuda said he had a daughter. And the Acherim said he had a daughter. Her name was Bakol. He says, V'chalila Lahem She'otziyu brichato shel Avram, shehi gdola uklalit le'inyan zeh. He said, God forbid, should somebody take this incredible blessing that Avram has from God and narrow it to say, oh, what's this unbelievable blessing? He had a daughter named Bakol. He says, that can't be what this really means. Shirumara katuv ki barach oto Hashem bivat echad sheshma kach. He says that this cannot be what this really means. Aval, top of the next page. Acherim chidshu b'perush hakatuv hazeh. What the Acherim were really trying to tell us in this, in Yan, amok ma'od, it's something which is incredibly deep. V'dershu b'zeh sod misodot ha-Torah. And this is one of the greatest mystical secrets of the Torah. So God, by the way, we what?
Still the Ramban.
Still the Ramban, yeah. V'amru ki b'kol Turmaz al inyan gadol. The kol is pointing to something incredible. V'hu sheyesh la'kadosh baruch mida tikra kol. That God has an attribute which is called kol. Neshehi yisod hakol, and that is the foundation of everything. Now, at this point, we still don't know what the Ramban means, but we do know one thing. The Ramban is not taking this Gemara at face value. It's interesting because all the Ramban, as far as we can tell right now, is addressing is the third opinion, but I can guarantee you by the time we finish with the Ramban's approach, if not the Ramban, others who follow him will end up going back to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and going back to the opinion of Rabbi Meir and say, we're not talking about what you think we're talking about. It's talking about something else completely, and it's not talking about Avram having a daughter, it's talking about something else. He says, where it's underlined the next point, V'hi amidah hashminit miyugimel ha'midot. This is really the eighth, this thing kol is the eighth of the yugimel midot, which is Hashem, Hashem, kirach, mochan, erech, aperm, rav, chesed, ve'emet. So this is the midah of emet. The bakol equals emet. That's the first thing the Ramban is telling you. By the way, he didn't even tell you that's what it means, but you just have to count. And this is the bride, the woman Shir Hashirim. Now, let's think a second. Shir Hashirim is a beautiful love story, right? Who is this woman in Shir Hashirim? So what is he telling you? Who is she? She is the Kala. Who is the Chatan? The Chatan is God. What does the word Kala mean? Where does the word Kala come from? Or as far as the Ramban is concerned, what is the word Kala is connected to Kol. So what he's telling us, if you understand what I'm trying to share with you, and by the way, just you really appreciate this, the Ramban was severely attacked for this commentary. Not because he was wrong. You know why he was attacked? Because people felt he never should have revealed as much as he revealed. I just want to quickly show you that. Look at the very end of source 17. We can just look at the beginning of source 18 and go backwards a line. No.
I wonder about the time between Kala and
I'll come right back to you. If you look at the very end, it's the Rabbeinu Bachaye, who I would say 80% of his commentary is based upon the Ramban. Over here he writes, V'havein, at the end of 17, last line, V'havein haklal hazeh ki hi inyan nistar, V'haramban zel gilehu b'perush v'hirchiv bo habi'ur yoter midai. The Ramban explained this, and he explained more than he should have. He revealed too much over here, that there are certain things which are better off to be kept secret. Again, when the Ramban published his commentary on the Torah, he was the first one to take mystical terminology, mystical secrets, and reveal them for the world. Till that point, there was Torah Tanigla, the Torah Tanistar, and Torah Tanistar was never published. People kept Torah Tanistar to themselves and only taught it from teacher to student. The Ramban goes and publishes a commentary on the Torah, and he puts all these things in writing. And, as you see, people were shocked that he can go and reveal all of these things. Now, what is the Ramban telling us so for? That this Gemara that you think is talking about a daughter, it's not talking about a daughter. Well, this Pasuk, when it talks about Kol, it's not talking about Kol. If you look at Shir HaShirim, which according to Chazal is Kadosh HaKadoshim, Shir HaShirim, the woman in Shir HaShirim, is this Kala. Who is this Kala? This Kala is related to Kol. And you want to know the rest of it, we'll go back to the Ramban. Where it's underlined after, okay, we'll go to the Vihishinei Kala B'Sefer Shir Shirim Ba'avur Shehi Klula Min HaKol, that this is related to the Kol. Yes, because the eighth part of the problem with this is understanding Kabbalistic, not just terminology, but also Kabbalistic symbols. And you have, on the one hand, the 10 Sefirot, on the other hand, you have the Yud Gimel Midot. And what he's getting towards over here is how divinity flows down from heaven, coming down to this earth. That's bigadol, what he's talking about. That's the larger issue. The Emet, which he's referring to, he says this is the Kol. So everything has to flow through. Why this is, let's leave for right now. What I would suggest, if you want to look at this a little bit better, then look in the Chevel edition of the Ramban, the Masada of Kook Ramban, and he has some notes over there which are helpful, though not completely. Okay, one second. Hakol v'hi shachachamim mechinim shema Knesset Yisrael b'mekamot rabim ba'avur shehi knusat hakol. That when it talks about the Kala in Shir HaShirim, who is the Kala? The Kala is Knesset Yisrael. Who is Knesset Yisrael? This whole, not just the physical Jewish people, but the spiritual essence of the entire Jewish people is called Knesset Yisrael. And therefore, when it says that Avram had a daughter named Bakol, what now has happened? That we're no longer talking about a biological daughter of Avram. Rather, what are we talking about? We're talking about that Avraham as the father of Knesset Yisrael. By the way, what's still not clear is why is Rav Meir saying no, he doesn't have a daughter. What's Rav Meir's point if this is the way the Ramban understands the teaching? Ulakach amrachem ki ena bracha hazot shenitbarech bekol romezet al shohi lidbat misara ishto o shelo hilid. We're not talking about he had a daughter, he didn't have a daughter. Aval hi romezet inyan gadol shebracha tobi midah she betoch midah hakol ulachen yikra gam hi kol. So he says, no, we're talking about something which is much better, which is Avraham's ultimate wish, and that is for Am Yisrael to emerge out of Avram Avinu. I'm going to skip to the very end. The Ramban writes, and I've skipped. There's a lot more. It's a very long Ramban. V'teskil devarim rabim stumim b'torah v'mikra. If you understand this, you will now understand all kinds of things which are hidden in the Torah. V'ilu yoda zeh hamitader b'sodotav. He's attacking the Ibn Ezra, and he says that if this person, who is so proud of himself that he knows the secret of the Torah, Now, the Ramban now showed his hand why he revealed so much. He didn't like something the Ibn Ezra wrote, and he felt the Ibn Ezra was attacking Chazal, and he felt the Ibn Ezra didn't know this, and the Ibn Ezra, in a number of occasions, claims to have the mystical tradition, so the Ramban goes to town over here, revealing the real mystical tradition on this in order to shut the Ibn Ezra up. So again, just to understand the background to all this, even though the later authorities are quite upset with the Ramban, that he can go ahead and reveal things to the masses that the masses never should have known. Look at the Rikanati, source 13, just in case you want to understand the flow over here. The Rikanati is this famous Italian Jewish family who later on owned Israel Discount Bank. But this is 700 years ago, Rav Menachem Rakanati, who wrote a commentary on the Ramban, on the mystical parts of the Ramban. So, if you're ever stuck on a mystical part of the Ramban, you go to the Rakanati, and he writes, Katav Ramban, Ki amida haniskeret hi shminit, yugim amidot. Who wanted to know more about that? Okay. V'ktiv ani Hashem oseh kol, kavanat harav zal ki haremez ba li yisod hakol. Uva omru ani Hashem oseh kol, remez shehamachriya rishon yashpi l'sheni, v'nikra emet, l'fi kavanato zal, v'lashono machiyach al habrit. Amnam ma shenir'e kavanatam zekronon l'vrcha, ki melat emet remez l'tferet Yisrael. V'kwa remazti zeh, v'abat haniskeret hi knesi Yisrael, shehi lo kibat. You didn't follow it. In his language, I don't think so. By the way, all kinds of questions like that really depend on who's writing and what their terminology is. In his, and I read this a number of times, I don't believe that there's any distinction over here. But what he's getting to here is that emet is, I'll just throw another word over here, is yesod, if you want to look at the sefirot. None of them are talking about the sefirot right now. But if you want to look, it's yesod, it's where Knesset Yisrael flows from. Again, you have chesed, gvura, tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod. So Yesod is the middle road. It's this combination, and that flows into Malchut, and Malchut really is Klal Yisrael, which is why later Kabbalists, when they're dealing with this, there is an argument if you're talking about Yesod or Malchut, but over here he seems to be referring to Kol, and Kol is related to Yesod, and that is related to Malchut. Anybody follow that? It's okay. Here, take a look at the very end of the Rikanati. Amnam yesh michachmei Kabbalah mefarshim ki machlokotam haita im habat hanirmezet hi biyamin o bismol uvezet sarich iyun gadol ki yesh ra'ayot l'chan u'l'chan. Amnam hadat note shehi bismol v'yalken halev note k'tzat l'tzad smol v'gam sod hatfilin shel yad mochiyachken v'tzarech lehitbonen. Okay. No. The Rakanati over here is really going back to the entire Gemara. Does he have a daughter? Does he not have a daughter? Let's go back. What is Avraham? One word. Chesed. Avraham represents Chesed. Is Chesed on the right or is Chesed on the left? Chesed is on the right. You right? Because Gvura is on the left. Why?
Because if you're right-handed, which most people are, then
you're left, Elaine?
Yeah.
Stop it. You're right, or you're left, okay? What does God use with his stronger hand? Assuming that the right is the stronger hand. Does God use chesed more? Does God use gvur more? Does God use kindness? Or does God use din? Yes. Which means the chesed is stronger. So you have chesed on the right, you have Gvura on the left, you then have Tferet, which merges them together. Netzach Hod and Yesod, and then Malchut. So over here, he wants to know if the Bat over here comes from Avraham, which means, is it on the right side, or is this something which is on the left side? Which means, are we talking about Avraham's extension in terms of Chesed, or you're talking about an extension coming from the side of Gvura? Now, of course, all of you can tell me, but who represents Gvura? Yitzchak. Yitzchak. Ezehu gibor ha-koveshet Yitzro. And Yitzchak is the one who's totally koveshet Yitzro in terms of the Akedah and so on. But nonetheless, and then you say, hold it, but doesn't Avram convert to Yitzchak? So what's the answer? No. Because we're not talking about sons, and we're not talking about daughters, and we're not talking about children. What are we talking about?
Spiritual.
We're talking about spiritual, what word did you use?
Inheritance.
Spiritual inheritance and spiritual identities, which means there's no question that Avraham causes there to be a Yitzchak, but Yitzchak in a very real way is a response to Avraham. And also Sarah gives birth to Yitzchak. But by the way, but just in case you want something to say by the table this week, because I gave you nothing to say. does Avraham have a daughter in this week's parasha? Of course he does. Who's his daughter? No, who's his daughter? Rivka. Of course Rivka's his daughter. Avraham. But I'm not talking about biologically. Spiritually. How so? She takes it, well, but it's interesting. But she is Avraham. She goes back. He goes back to Avram's hometown. And what's the test that he gives? It's a test of Chesed. That's the test. By the way, the way to understand this is that you have Avraham and Sarah, and Avraham is Chesed, and Sarah is the one who's strong. Sarah is the one who's Gvura in this, which goes back to your basic male and female, but it doesn't mean male and female. But then Yitzchak is Gvura, and by the way, the Zohar says that Yitzchak has a feminine neshama. Go ahead, understand that. Why? Because he's passive all the time. But it's not talking about literal identities right now. So then you have Avraham and Sarah, and then you have Yitzchak. So what does Yitzchak now need? He needs he needs Chesed. So therefore, what's the test of Eved Avraham? It has to be someone of Chesed, because that's going to be the proper match in order to create this whole which is coming out. So now the question is, does Avraham have a daughter? And does this daughter come, mitzad yamin or mitzad small? Does this daughter come from Avraham or not? So what's Rav Meir going to say according to this? He says, no, that it doesn't come from Avraham, that it's coming really from the other side. And what is Rabbi Yehuda to say? This is coming from Avraham. And therefore, this whole Gemara, according to the approach of the Ramban and those who follow the Ramban, has nothing to do with children, has nothing to do with boys, nothing to do with girls, nothing to do with Da'antan Kalot and all of these things. It's talking about the eventual emergence of Klal Yisrael. Now, what's interesting is, go back to the beginning. We saw a midrash that said that Avraham was, what's the Bekol? He was Sholeit B'Yetzahara. Remember I told you, Yonatan Eifshit said, when was he Sholeit B'Yetzahara? By the Akedah. Because what does Avram do by the Akedah? There, he has to use the Midah, which is not part of him. Which Midah does he use? Now he has to use Gvura. Now Chesed is control. He has to use Gvura, which means the alter, you know, I don't want to say alter ego, but the the opposite of Avram's regular trait, which is Chesed, is now being used. Which means at this point now, what does Avram understand? That what he sees as being Gvura, what he sees as being difficult, what he sees is actually something which is in God's interest and is a way of serving God. At this point, the Yetzahara can no longer have any impact on him. And when he ties Yitzchak down, in the words of Yonatan Eifshitz, he at that point ties down the Yetzahara, because now the Yetzahara will never be able to defeat him again, because now he realizes that everything which is out there, what is perceived as good and perceived as bad, is actually all in the service of Hashem, and at this point the Yetzer Hara will not defeat him. If you want to see somebody almost say that, the Toldot Yaakov Yosef, source 21, look in the very middle of the source. Toldot Yaakov Yosef, by the way, is one of the oldest Hasidic sources. He himself was a student of the Baal Shem Tov. V'chein perusho, you see it right in the middle? V'chein perusho v'hashem birachat avram b'ko, rotzalomar, im, four lines from the bottom, v'chinat ha-chesed shenikra avraham, birach l'v'chinat bat shenikra b'kol, shehem hadin v'ha-gvurot, shehu b'chinat bat nukva, v'akshav nimtak hadin b'shorish chesed ze, v'naseh min b'kol ben b'chinat chesed, ויידי זה שהם תיק הדין שהשליטו ביצרו בסוד ומלכותו בכל משלה. הידי שידע כי יצא הרע כוונתו לשם שמיים נעשה לו עבד לשימושו וכך נראה לי. Did any of you follow that? Do you understand what he said? He said that Avram is chesed. So therefore, what's the opposite of chesed is din. So the daughter of Avraham, the bat, is coming from the feminine side. So therefore, Avram is chesed. Avram is male. The nukva, the bat, comes from the feminine side. But based upon the akedah, now what happens? Now the feminine gets realized that it really is chesed, because what happens now, he's able to defeat the Yetzer Hara, and the bat becomes a ben. Do you realize we're not talking about genders over here? This has nothing to do with gender. What it has to do is symbolism, which is used in Kabbalistic sources. And as I said, people were incredibly upset with the Ramban for starting to reveal any of these things. I said, this is not for the masses to understand. But once you understand the Ramban's approach, and you go back and you look at these sources, then nothing says what you think it says. I'll show you something interesting by the Radvaz. The Radvaz was the teacher of the Arizal. In source 18. Where it's underlined, say from Magen David. Ulafichach ani omer shemachloket ze yesh lo sod gadol v'yurazal mastirim advarim kefi mashir ha'ui. Right? The rabbis would hide this. Ulamalahim cholkim v'ze ki Avram Avinu hu ish ha'chesed kashe kadosh lecha v'habat amura hi bat melech penima v'hi ha'metronota ha'nizkar b'midrashay razal anamim v'kara otor katuv kol shenemar v'ashem b'irach et Avraham b'kol l'fi shehi mekabelet ziv v'hod v'shefa mikol mashi l'mala mimena v'kol ba v'hi ha'mar'eh shekol tzera nir'im mitocha kashe katav v'lamala v'hai kal miflagi mar savar bat haita li ubakol shema batya lo, that should be ubakol shema klomer ika kabalatame hachesed shehu yamin ha'ilan v'hu Avraham umar sava lo hayta lo bat klomer she'eni kar kabalatav yinukotam min hachesed shehu yamin ela min hapachad shehu mismol. Again, what he's doing over here is taking pure Kabbalistic imagery, chesed gvura, yamin smol, zachar nekeva, and saying, where does Knesset Yisrael emerge from? Does it emerge directly from Avraham, or does it emerge from the other side? And again, what's the reality of here? We're not going to penetrate, you know, the deepest Kabbalistic secrets, correct? But what this is really dealing with is the flow of spirituality coming from heaven. Avraham reveals certain things. Yitzchak reveals certain things. You realize now that Sarah and Rivka also reveal certain things. Eventually, all of this is going to flow down to something which is called Malchut, and Malchut is going to be Knesset Yisrael. That's the reality. Over here, when the sources are going back and telling you that Avram has a daughter, he doesn't have a daughter, what the Ramban understands is that there is a thing called Knesset Yisrael, Am Yisrael. Where does it come from? It comes from Avraham. And what's the whole Machloket? The whole Machloket is, does this come directly from Avraham, or does this come from all the other spiritual powers as well? That's the machloket, according to all of these Kabbalistic opinions. Which means Avram has a daughter, means that Knesset Yisrael is coming directly from Avraham. Avram doesn't have a daughter means it's not coming from the side of Avram, it's coming from the other side. But by the time we finish today, you realize that you thought that Yitzchak was a male, and Yitzchak really has a neshama, which is a female. You thought that he had a daughter, the daughter becomes a son, the son becomes a daughter. This, and nothing is what it looks like, nothing is what it seems like, because according to the Ramban, we're not talking about gender over here. And therefore, you know, when I read the whole approach that the Torah Tamima had, who was taking this Gemara, again, ultra literally, and then going so much further, and then digging deep into the psyche of Rav Meir, and trying to show her Rav Meir really hates women, and that's why Rav Meir is saying this. He didn't have a daughter, and God bless people who don't have daughters, and so on and so forth. I think if the Torah Tamima would have met the Ramban up in heaven, which let's assume that he did, I assume that the Ramban would have given him a very hard time for this interpretation, basically said, you blew it. you had no idea what the source meant that you were reading. And this is really something which is far more profound. Yes?
I thought Malchut
was Yaakov. No, that's Tiferet. That's Tiferet. That's Tiferet. Malchut is David. Anyway, I hope I did not confuse you too terribly. And as I said, I hope you have something to say by the table on Shabbat.